Good morning, everyone, and thanks for coming out this Sunday morning. As before mentioned, I'm going to be talking about Pixar's and Disney's movie that came out in 2003, Finding Nemo. There's three main characters in Finding Nemo. The first one is, of course, Nemo. He's a juvenile clownfish, and then there's Marlin, his adult clownfish, who's the father of Nemo. And then there's Dory. Dory is a small, vibrant blue fish with black stripes and a yellow tail. And I guess her aquatic name would be a hippo tang or royal blue tang. I chose this movie, believe it or not, because I somewhat identify with Finding Nemo. But I'll talk a little more about that later in my message. I believe the theme of Finding Nemo is three. Things. It's loss, love, and trust. In the beginning, there was a loss of life, and then there was a lost son. And after that, Marlin was able to have been through so much that he lost hope. But greater love prevailed. But it took trust. And once that trust was there, love prevailed. And that's the same love that is spoken about in John 15:13. No one has greater love than this, that one lays down his life for his friend. We see throughout the movie that Marlin's life was in constant danger as he searched for Nemo. He swam with sharks. He traveled in the mouth of a whale. He navigated through poisonous jellyfish, only to land in the throat of a pelican and being chased by hungry seagulls. And his love for Nemo was so great that he was willing to lay down his life to save his son. But through his journey, he lost trust. The trust in all other creatures, including Nemo, who he doesn't trust to be sensible and safe and look after himself. In this first clip, we're introduced to Marlin and his wife and his 400 unborn sons. And the reason I say unborn sons is because in researching this, I learned a little bit about clownfish. I learned that clownfish are all born male, and they swim in groups. And it's always one female and one dominant male, but then there's other males. And when the female dies, the dominant male changes to the female. It's called sequential hermaphroditism. Got it. that doesn't have anything to do with my message today, but I thought I'd add that in for a bonus. But let's check out this clip.
Now, rays of light cut through ripples on the ocean surface. Underwater, wow. Two orange and white clownfish gaze from the edge of a coral reef.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Marlin. I see it. It's beautiful.
So, Coral, when you said you wanted an ocean view, you didn't think you were going to get the whole ocean, did you? Huh?
They float near a pink sea anemone.
Oh, yeah. A fish can breathe out here. Did your man deliver, or did he deliver?
My man delivered.
It wasn't so easy.
Because a lot of other clownfish had their eyes on this place.
You better believe they did. Every single one of them.
Mm-hmm. It did good. And the neighborhood is awesome.
They look out at the reef. A fish pokes a round plant with its nose. The plant's white blossoms draw back, revealing several brightly colored fish. Nearby, a crab trims seaweed with its claws.
So you do like it, don't you?
No. I do. I really do like it. But Marlin, I know that the drop-off is desirable with the great schools and the amazing view and all that, but do we really need so much space?
Coral, honey, these are our kids we're talking about. They deserve the best.
Marlin peeks from the anemone.
They wake up, poke their little heads out, and they see a whale passing right by their bedroom.
You're going to wake the kids.
Oh, right.
Marlin and Coral peer into an algae-covered cave. Hundreds of round, translucent red eggs jiggle.
They're dreaming. We still have to name them.
You want to name all of them right now? All right. We'll name this half Marlin Jr. and then this half Coral Jr. Okay, we're done.
I like Nemo.
Nemo? Well, we'll name one Nemo, but I'd like most of them to be Marlin Jr.
Just think, in a couple of days, we're going to be parents.
Yeah. What if they don't like me?
Marlin.
Oh, really?
There's over 400 eggs. Odds are one of them is bound to like you.
In the anemone, Marlin stares dreamily at Coral through its swaying tentacles.
What?
You remember how we met?
Well, I try not to.
Well, I remember. Excuse me, miss. Can you check and see if I have a hook in my lip?
Marlin!
Oh, you gotta look closer because it's way in here.
Get away from me!
Here he is! Cutie's here!
Marlin chases Coral outside. His neighbors are gone.
Where did everybody go?
Coral stares wide-eyed. A barracuda, a long shark-toothed fish, swims toward her.
Get inside the house, Coral.
She gazes down at the eggs.
No, Coral, don't! They'll be fine. Just get inside, you, right now.
She dives for them, and the barracuda follows. As Marlin goes after them, the barracuda bares its razor-sharp teeth and sweeps Marlin against a rock with its tail. Marlin falls limply into the anemone. Blackness fills our view. Nighttime. The anemone's tentacles appear blue as they sway in the dark water. Marlin wakes up.
Coral!
He rushes outside, gazing around desperately. He peers at the cave below. The eggs are gone.
Coral?
Marlin swims closer.
Coral?
He stares into the dimly lit cave. Marlin enters cautiously.
Coral? Coral?
Stopping short, he swims back out.
Coral?
Rays of dim light stream down through the surface as Marlin floats above the abandoned reef. As he sobs, he covers his eyes with his fins. Opening them, he glances down. A single egg rests on a patch of sand. Inside, the baby's large eye shows through the translucent shell. Marlin approaches.
There, there, there. It's okay. Daddy's here. Daddy's got you.
Marlin scoops up the tiny egg in his fin.
I promise I will never let anything happen to you. Nemo.
Now, from under the ocean's surface, a full moon ripples with the current. Titles appear. Walt Disney Pictures presents a Pixar Animation Studios film. Now, the sun brightens the water, changing its color from dark blue to cool aqua. Another title shimmers like the sun's rays on the ocean's surface. Finding Nemo. Our view pulls back through a reef of bright purple, pink, and orange coral. At the top of an anemone, its orange tentacles wave to and fro. Now, a young clownfish swims.
As you just saw, Marlin knows what it's like to lose someone. Marlin's wife, Carol, and their 399 babies were eaten by a barracuda, leaving only Marlin and his son Nemo. As you guess, Marlin is incredibly protective of Nemo to the point where Nemo begins to resent Marlin's overprotecting parenting. On Nemo's first day of school, Marlin accompanied him to class and followed closely as they take a field trip. Nemo, in an effort to exert his independence, ventured beyond the safe zone and was captured by a scuba diver who wanted to add Nemo to his exotic fish collection. Marlin's worst fear are confirmed. And now he must leave the safety of his comfort zone and find Nemo.
Sheldon and his friends surround Nemo.
What's wrong with this fish? He looks funny. Ow!
Hey, what'd I do?
Be nice. It's his first time at school.
He was born with it, kids. We call it his lucky fin.
Pearl, an octopus.
See this tentacle? It's actually shorter than all my other tentacles. But you can't really tell. Especially when I twirl it like this.
I'm H2O intolerant.
Ted, an angelfish.
I'm obnoxious.
Now, a large manta ray glides overhead, flapping its wing-like fins.
Let's name the zones of the open sea.
Oh, you better stay with me.
Epilogic, mesopologic, pathologic, all the rest are too deep for you and me to see.
He gently lands on top of the kids.
I wonder where my class has gone.
There you are! Come aboard, explorers! All knowledge exploring is oh so lyrical.
The class hovers over Mr. Ray's back.
Dad, you can go now.
Oh, hello! Who is this?
I'm Nemo.
Well, Nemo, all new explorers must answer a science question.
Okay.
You live in what kind of home?
In an anemone.
Okay, don't hurt yourself. Welcome aboard, explorer!
Just so you know, he's got a little fin. I find if he's having trouble swimming, I let him take a break, 10, 15
Dad,
minutes.
Dad, it's time for you to go now.
Don't worry, we're going to stay together as a group. Okay, class, optical orbits up front. And remember, we keep our supersophageal ganglion to ourselves. That means you, Jimmy.
Oh, man!
Oh, I like
Bob. Bye, Nemo!
Bye, Dad!
Thanks,
son. Bye, son!
Mr. Ray glides over the coral and out of sight.
Be safe.
Hey. You're doing pretty well for a first-timer.
Well, you can't hold on to them forever, can you?
Yeah, I had a tough time when my oldest went out of the drop-off.
They just got to grow up some... The drop-off? They're going to the drop-off? What are you, insane? Why don't we just fry them up now and serve them with Chip?
Hey, Marty, calm down.
Don't tell me to be calm, pony boy.
Marlin leaves.
Pony boy? You know, for a clownfish, he really isn't that funny.
Eddie.
Now Mr. Ray and the class swim through the reef. They pass clumps of colorful plants, arched rock formations, and stalks of sharp coral with branches like trees.
Come on, sing with me!
Nemo gapes. Far below, a flat, bright pink animal moves like a flying carpet. As Mr. Ray soars over a bed of grass-like seaweed, hundreds of fish dart about. Now the teacher lands on a clearing and lets off the students.
Okay, the drop-off. All right, kids, feel free to explore.
He sees a tiny glowing speck.
Stromalytic cyanobacteria, gather. Entire ecosystem contained in one infinitesimal speck. There are as many protein pairs as
one. Come on, let's go.
Tad leads Sheldon and Pearl away. Nemo follows them.
Hey, guys, wait up!
He joins Sheldon, Tad, and Pearl.
Whoa.
They peer out over the edge of the reef at the vast ocean.
Hmm.
Tad pushes Pearl, then pulls her back.
Save your life!
Pearl squirts ink.
Oh, you guys made me eat!
What's that?
They spot the underside of a boat.
I know what that is. Oh, Sandy Plankton saw one. He said it was called a butt.
Wow, that's a pretty big butt.
Sheldon leaves the others.
Oh, look at me. I'm going to go touch the butt.
He skips toward it, then comes back.
Oh, yeah? Let's see you get closer.
Okay.
Pearl goes a little farther than Sheldon.
Beat that.
Tad goes out past them.
Come on, Nemo. How far can you go?
Oh, my dad says it's not safe.
Nemo! No!
Dad?
Ugh, you're about to swim in open water.
No, I wasn't going to go.
It's just a good thing I was here.
Dad,
if I hadn't
no,
shown up,
sorry,
I don't know.
He wasn't going to go.
Yeah, he was too afraid.
No, I wasn't.
This does not concern you, kids. And you're lucky I don't tell your parents you were out there. You know you can't swim well.
I can swim fine, Dad, okay?
No,
Mr. Ray looks
okay.
On.
You shouldn't be anywhere near here. Okay, I was right. You know what? We'll start school in a year or two.
No, Dad! Just because you're scared of the ocean...
Clearly you're not ready, and you're not coming back until you are. You think you can do these things, but you just can't, Nemo!
Nemo drops his gaze.
I hate you.
Mr. Ray faces the rest of the class.
There's nothing to see. Gather! Over there! Excuse me, is there anything I can do? I am a scientist, sir. Is there any problem?
You know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt this. He isn't a good swimmer, and I just think it's a little too soon for him to be out here unsupervised.
Well, I can assure you he's quite safe with me.
Look, I'm sure he is. But you have a large class, and he can get lost, you know, from sight if you're not looking. Now, I'm not saying you're not looking.
Oh, my gosh! Nemo's swimming out the sea!
Nemo darts toward the boat.
Nemo! What do you think you're doing? You're going to get stuck out there, and I'm going to have to get you before another fish does.
Nemo swims up along
get
the boat's anchor
here.
Chain.
I said get back here now. Stop. You take one more move, mister. Don't you dare. If you put one fin on that boat, are you listening to me? Don't touch the boat.
Nemo taps
Nemo.
The boat.
Nemo!
Don't touch the butt.
You just patted your little tail right back here, Nemo. That's right. You were in big trouble, young man. Do you hear me?
A huge dark creature looms up behind Nemo. He turns and sees his reflection in a diver's scuba mask.
I'm coming, Nemo!
Another diver blocks Marlin's path.
Get under me, kids!
Mr. Ray guides the others to safety. First diver nets Nemo and swims away. The other snaps a picture of the reef. The flash dazes Marlin.
Nemo!
Marlin's vision blurs and he bumps his head on a coral.
Nemo! Nemo, no!
He races after the divers.
Nemo! 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 No!
They climb the boat's ladder.
No!
As Marlin nears the ladder, the boat's propeller whirs, blasting the clownfish away in a swarm of air bubbles.
As I mentioned, the theme of Finding Nemo is loss, love, and trust. The theme of being lost should resonate with us because Jesus had plenty to say and plenty of examples about God's love and what God does when we're lost. Jesus taught us about loss in three parables in Luke, chapter 15. It reads, "Now the tax collector and sinners were all gathered around the house, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eat with them.' Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and lose one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 to open in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully put it on his shoulder and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and say, 'Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep.'" Now, Jesus went on also to talk about another parable in Luke 15 about loss, and it's the lost coin. And in verse 8, it says, "Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweeps the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and say, 'Rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin.'" And many of us are familiar with the next parable, the prodigal son. Roger mentioned the prodigal son last week. So we're pretty familiar with that story. But part of the prodigal son, one of the verses in verse 20, it says, But while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him, the prodigal son, and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, throwing his arms around him and kissing him. In Finding Nemo, at the end of the movie, spoiler alert, he actually does this. He sees Nemo off in the distance, and he swims to him. He runs to him, but he swims to him, and he wraps his fins around him. Marlin is also knows what it's like to lose a child. Marlin is a clownfish who has the unfortunate personal traits of not being very funny. Instead, he's incredibly anxious and a constant warrior. Nemo's capture highlights for Marlin the brutal truth of being a parent or loving any child. And that is from the moment a child is born. There's this constant pulling away. It starts with the umbilical cord being cut, and we're forced to participate in this painful practice of letting go. They take their first step away from us. They say mine for the first time. They get on their first school bus. They move into their first dorm room. And the art of parenting, of loving a child, is the art of letting them go. I remember my oldest son, Christian, when he first went to kindergarten. Of course, Jean and I were both more than a little anxious when we took him to school that day just to register him. We weren't going to leave him. We were just going to register him. And we registered him in class and filled out all the paperwork. And then this administrator came and grabbed his hand and took him down the hall. I still see it today. And like every few steps, he'll look back and wave at us. And we were letting him go. Letting go our children had become, We let them go to become their own person. And trusting them to others can be really hard. God knows about this, right? From the very beginning, God gave his children, Adam and Eve, the freedom to do what they wanted to, even if it meant not doing what God wanted them to do. Ever since then, we've been testing our limits with God, pushing the envelope, asserting our independence by defying God, running away from God, doing exactly the opposite of what he wants us to do. Have you run away from God? I know I have. But God never stops chasing us, never give up on us. Once Nemo is taken, Marlin must decide what to do. Maintain control over his life that he craved, or let it all go in order to venture into the dark, milky, unknown ocean to find his son. Of course, he chose to find Nemo. Along the way, it meets Dory. She's a sort of flaky fish with a short memory problem. Dory joined the hunt for Nemo, doing her best to help Marlin by speaking to a whale and sacrificing herself in a swarm of jellyfish. And yet, because Marlin is such a control freak, Marlin can't fully put trust in her, actually sending her away because he thinks she's slowing him down. Deep down, Marlin's problem is not with Dory. It's with himself. He believes the only person to blame for his trouble is himself. First, he lost his wife and babies because he didn't do enough to save them. And now he's lost Nemo. He's a failure. And if he could have just tried harder, if he could have just exerted more control, things would have been better. He says to Dory in the movie, "I promise I would never let anything happen to him." And Dory says, in all her wisdom, "That's a funny promise. If you never let anything happen to him, then nothing will ever happen to him." The pivotal moment in this movie comes when Dory and Marlin are swallowed by a whale. Sounds a bit like Jonah. Marlin's afraid they will be eaten, but Dory, using her ability to speak to whales, learned that they have to go to the back of the whale's throat in order to escape. Dory tells Marlin, "It's time to go." Marlin asks, "How do you know something bad isn't going to happen?" And Dory's respond, "I don't." Remember, I said the theme going to this movie is loss, love, and trust. And this is where trust lives in Finding Nemo. Throughout the movie, Marlin and Nemo had to trust other creatures to navigate through the ocean to reunite with each other. You know, I looked up the word trust. The word trust or trusted appears 182 times in the Old and New Testament Bible. In this next clip, Dory talks to Marlin about trust.
Wallaby Way, Sydney. Where are you going? I'm going to P. Sherman 42 Wallaby Way, Sydney. If you're asking where I'm going, I'll tell you that's where I'm going. It's P. Sherman 42 Wallaby Way, Sydney.
Marlin
where?
Approaches sorry, a swirling school of hundreds of silvery moonfish.
Excuse me. I'm high. Do you know how to get
Dory rushes over, scaring them off.
Wait, can you tell me? Hey,
Marlin chases them.
I'm trying to talk to you. Okay, let's come back here. Question. I need to learn. They're gonna get.
Sherman 42 Wallaby Way, Sydney. Why do I have to tell you over and over again? I'll tell you again. I don't get tired of it.
Okay,
P. Sherman.
Right.
Huh?
Here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think it's best if I carry on from here by myself.
Okay.
You know, alone.
Uh-huh.
Without. Well, I mean, not without you. I mean, it's just. But I don't want you with me.
Huh?
Am I? I don't want to hurt your feelings.
You want me to leave?
Well, I mean, not. Yes, yeah. It's just, you know, I just can't afford any more delays. And you're one of those fish that cause delays. Sometimes it's a good thing. There's a whole group of fish. They're delay fish.
You mean you don't like
me? No, of course I like you. It's because I like you I don't want to be with you. It's a complicated emotion. Oh, don't cry. I like you.
Hey, you!
The moonfish float nearby.
Lady, is this guy bothering you?
I don't remember. Were you?
No. Hey, do you guys know how I can
Look,
get to
pal, peace? We're talking to the lady, not you. Hey, you like impressions?
Dory nods.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just like in rehearsals, gentlemen.
Together they form a shape.
So what are we? Take a guess.
Oh, I've seen one of those.
I'm a fish with a nose like a sword.
Wait.
It's a swordfish.
Oh, hey, clown boy. Let the lady guess.
They form another shape.
There's the butter.
Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue.
Lobster.
Saw that.
Whoa. They form an octopus.
Lots of legs. Live in the ocean.
Clam.
Close enough.
They form
the
a ship.
Of a tail. I'll tell you a laugh. The whale of a tail.
They're good.
Would somebody please give me directions?
They form Marlin.
Would somebody please give me directions?
I'm serious.
Blah, blah, blah. Me, me, blah. Blah, 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 blah. Me.
Thank you.
He swims off.
Oh, dear. Hey, come back. Hey, what's the matter?
What's the matter? While they're doing their silly little impressions, I am miles from home with a fish that can't even remember her own name.
Boy, I bet that's frustrating.
Yeah. Meanwhile, my son is out there.
Your son, Chico?
Nemo.
Right, got it.
But it doesn't matter, because no fish in this entire ocean is going to help me.
Well, I'm helping you.
Marlin pauses.
Wait right here.
She returns to the moonfish.
Guys!
What? Is he bothering you again?
No, he's a good guy. Go easy on him. He's lost his son, Fabio. Any of you heard of P. Sherman 42 Wallaby Way, Sydney?
Sydney? Oh, sure.
They formed the Sydney Opera House.
He's got relatives in Sydney, don't you, Ted?
Sure do.
Oh, hey! They know Sydney! You wouldn't know how to get there, would you?
What you want to do is follow the EAC. That's East Australian Current. Big current. Can't miss it. It's in.
They form an arrow.
That direction. And then you're going to follow that for about, I don't know, what do you guys think? About 3 leagues? And that little baby's going to put you right past Sydney.
Great! That's great! Dory, you did it!
Oh, please. I'm just your little helper, helping along. That's me.
Well, listen, fellas, thank you.
Don't mention it! Just loosen up, okay, buddy?
Oh, you guys, you really nailed him. Bye.
Oh, hey, ma'am, one more thing?
Yes.
When you come to this trench, swim through it, not over it.
Trench, through it, not over it. I'll remember. Hey!
She catches up with Marlin.
Hey, wait up, partner. Hold on. Wait. I gotta tell you something.
They face a long, steep-sided trench.
Nice trench.
Its rocky walls tower over a dark valley.
Hello!
A fish skeleton rests on a boulder.
Okay, let's go.
Oh, bad trench. Come on, we're going to swim over this thing.
Whoa, partner. Little red flag going up. Something's telling me we should swim through it, not over it.
Are you even looking at this thing? It's got death written all over it.
I'm sorry, but I really, really, really think we should swim through.
And I'm really, really done talking about this. Over we go.
Come on, trust me on this.
Trust you.
Yes, trust. It's what friends do.
Look, something shiny.
Where?
Oh, it just swam over the trench. Come on, we're following.
Okay.
They swim up along the cliff-like trench wall and reach the top.
Boy, sure is clear up here.
Exactly. And look at that. There's the current. We should be there in no time.
Dory sees a tiny creature.
Little guy.
You wanted to go through the trench.
I shall call him Squishy, and he shall be mine, and he shall be my Squishy. Come here, Squishy. Come here, little Squishy.
She touches him.
Ow! Dory, that's a jellyfish!
Bad Squishy!
Shoot!
He swats Squishy away with his tail fin.
Don't touch it.
I'm not gonna touch it. I just wanna look.
Hey, how come it didn't sting you?
It did. It's just a cold tail. I live in the Sinemone, and I'm used to these kind of stings. Come here.
Ow.
It doesn't look bad. You're gonna be fine. But now we know, don't we, that we don't want to touch these again. Let's be thankful this time it was just a little one.
Hundreds of adult jellyfish drop down around them. Their pink bodies pulsate. They resemble mushrooms with thin tentacles.
This is bad, Dory.
Hey, watch this.
She bounces on one.
Boing,
Dory!
Boing, you can't
Dory!
Catch me.
Don't bounce on the tops. They will not sting you.
Boing.
The tops don't sting you. That's it.
Two in a row. Beat that.
Dory, all right, listen to me. I have an idea. A game. Yes.
I love games. Pick me.
All right, here's the game. Whoever can hop the fastest out of these jellyfish wins.
Okay.
Rules.
Okay.
You can't touch the tentacles. Only the tops.
Something about tentacles. Got it. On your mark, get set.
No, wait. Not something about them. It's all about them. Whee! Wait.
Gotta go fast if you want to win.
Look, Dory. Look. Wait a minute.
up.
So we're cheating death now. That's what we're doing. We're having fun at the same time. I can do this. Just be careful.
Yeah, careful I don't make you cry when I win.
No, I don't think so.
They skip across the tops of the jellyfish.
Beautiful, man. You can't fight evolution. I was built for speed.
The question is, Dory, are you hungry?
Hungry?
Yeah, because you're about to eat my bubbles.
Marlon races free of the school of jellyfish.
The clownfish is the winner.
Woohoo!
We did it. Look at us. Dory?
Marlon faces the school.
Oh, no.
He races back into the mass.
Dory!
Dory's blue body lies entwined in tentacles.
Dory!
Marlon dives toward her. As tentacles sting him, Marlon grabs Dory in his fins. The jellyfish swarm around them.
I disqualified.
No, you're doing fine. You're actually winning. But you gotta stay awake. Where does P. Sherman live?
P. Sherman. Lobby way. Sydney.
That's it!
Marlon spots a small clearing and rushes toward it with Dory.
Oh, stay awake! Stay awake! Stay awake! Stay away!
Marlon bursts through a large set of tentacles into the clear ocean. As Marlon's eyes close, he and Dory drift down over a massive shadow.
They talk about trust in this in this movie, Marlon and Dory. Dory tells Marlon at one time, trust me on this. Trust is what friends do. It's the same trust as in Proverbs 3-5, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. You may ask the question, how do you know something bad isn't going to happen? But I would say I don't, but I know God is with us when we let go. The security God offers is not the promise of what won't happen, but the promise of what will happen, that God will be with us at all times, even in the darkest valleys. And we find freedom when we are able to let go of the things that we can't control and trust that God will be with us on the journey. What was holding on gotten Marlon. He's isolated his friends and alienated his only son. What was holding on gotten you? Has it brought you to the safety and security you've been seeking? Has it kept bad things from happening to you and or your loved ones? You know, there's a sports quote that says, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Marlon would say, but if you don't take the shots, the other team won't get the ball and you'll be safe. But I think Dory would say that's where the fun is just holding on. There's no fun, it's just holding on the ball. Didn't God give us our lives to live them? So what is keeping you from living yours? Ultimately, Marlon does let go, dropping down into the well stoked, only to be resurrected through the blowhole and back into the ocean. That scene reminds me of what Jesus said in Luke 9:24. For whosoever saves their life will lose it, but whoever will lose their life will save it. From that point on, in the well's mouth, Marlon was a changed fish, no longer held back by his fears. He courageously seeked out Nemo, not afraid of riding a current on the back of the sea turtles or enlisting the help of sharks and pelicans. He learned that the dark, milky ocean is also teeming with colorful, joyful life. For the first time, Marlon trusts others to help him. He gives up his control and in the process saves Nemo's life. Marlon learns the blessing of life lives in faith, the paradox that security is found, not in control, but in surrender. The more we're willing to surrender our lives to God's hand, to trust that God will walk with us, the more we find peace in the fact that it's not up to us. God walks with us. He walks with us in the delivery room, into the bus for the first day of school, into the hospital, into the lawyer's office, into the belly of a well. And if God walks with us in those situations, God has the power to bring resurrection out of them. And what part of life are we holding on to too tightly? What do we need to let go in order to experience the blessing God has for us? What new realms are we being called to explore? A new relationship, a new job, a new leadership position. Remember what we read in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. There's the thing about trying to control our lives and not trusting God. We're not good at it. Have you noticed that? Ask Adam and Eve or the Israelites, or just about anyone who has ever lived. We are most fully ourselves when we surrender ourselves to our faith in God. But how do we know something bad isn't going to happen? We don't. For those who want to save their lives will lose it. But those who lose their lives for my sake, the sake of the gospel, will save it. So do you just play it safe, hold on to the ball, or do you just venture into the milky unknown future, a future that is also teeming with new life? When Marlin did, he found Nemo. I wonder what we'll find there if we trust God. And like Marlin and Nemo, God uses others to help us. And sometimes it's just that still small voice in your heart. God also uses the Holy Spirit, who's here. The Bible says that he brought it here to be our teacher and to be our guide. And in John 14:26, it says, but the advocate, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father sent in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said. And later in John, it says in chapter 16, verse 13, it says, but he, the Spirit of truth, comes. He will guide you in all the truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. It's not unusual for movies to hide profound meanings and takeaways for the viewers. They act as metaphors for our brain, that our brain can understand at a deep level and make positive change without even realizing it. In hypnotherapy, the idea is that the conscious mind is distracted while important items are sent to the subconscious to allow us to make lasting positive change. In movies, the stories and actions of a film distract us consciously while the deep message does the work, and we don't even notice. That's why we should always guard out of what we see on TV. Pixar Studios takes these messages very serious, and that's what makes their film so magical. Finding Nemo is no exception. In filmmaking and screenwriting, the term is called theme. If you were to ask somebody what Finding Nemo is about, they would probably say Finding Nemo is about a clownfish looking for his missing son. But if you ask them what is the theme, what it's really about, they would say it's about loss, love, and trust. In this last clip, we look at Nemo and Marlin reunite. But not before Marlin has lost all hope of ever finding Nemo. Also, check out within the scenes where trust was needed to save a school of fish. And look who gave the advice to save the group.
Marlin hovers a few feet below the surface. Dory lingers behind, then approaches.
Hey.
Dory. If it wasn't for you, I never would have even made it here. So thank you.
Gazing sadly, Marlon starts off. Dory blocks his way.
Hey, wait a minute. Well, wait. Where are you going?
It's over, Dory. We were too late. Nemo's gone. I'm going home now.
No, you can't.
Marlon heads off again.
Stop!
He stops a few feet away.
Please don't go away. Please. No one's ever stuck with me for so long before. And if you leave, I remember things better with you. I do. Look, P. Sherman, 42, I remember it. I do. It's there. I know it is because when I look at you, I can feel it. And I look at you and I'm home.
Dory gazes pleadingly.
Please. I don't want that to go away. I don't want to forget.
Marlon's eyelids droop.
I'm sorry, Dory, but I do.
Gazing sadly, he wriggles away. Dory's fins fall down at her side. Now a jet of bubbles rises from a hole in the Sydney water treatment pipe. Two crabs swipe at it and bring their claws to their mouths.
Manna from heaven, sweet nectar of life.
A third crab passes.
Hey,
this is our spot.
Go on, get out of here.
Marlon passes over them.
Hey. Yeah, that's it, fella. Just keep on swimming. You got that.
Too right, mate.
Nemo bursts from the pipe hole.
Hey, have you seen the dead?
They snap with their claws.
Come back here.
You let him go.
One crab whacks the other. They fight.
Dad!
Now Nemo swims past the buoy's chain. He stops and looks up the chain to the water's surface where Dory circles the buoy.
No.
As Nemo swims toward her, she darts about uncertainly.
No!
Excuse me.
No.
Are you all right?
I don't know where I am. I don't know what's going on. I think I lost somebody, but I can't remember.
It's okay. I'm looking for someone, too. Hey, we can look together.
Dory wipes her eye.
I'm Dory.
I'm Nemo.
Nemo? That's a nice name.
Meanwhile, Marlon swims gloomily toward a large school of fish. On the surface, a fishing boat floats on the dark water. Now, Nemo and Dory arrive at the pipe.
Dad!
Wait a minute. Is it your dad or my dad?
My dad.
Got it.
Dad!
You're hungry anyway.
Dad! Dory stops and squints at the logo.
Sydney. P. Sherman 42, Wallaby Way, Sydney.
Dory remembers the mask, anglerfish, and dentist's office. Dory grabs Nemo's cheeks and spins him around.
Yes, Nemo! You were dead. I saw you, and then here you are. I found you. You're not dead, and your father. Your father.
My father? You know my father? Where is he?
This way. He went this way. Quick.
They swim by the two crabs.
Hey, have you seen an orange fish swim by? It looks just like him.
But bigger.
Yeah, I saw him, Bluey. But I'm not telling you where he went. And there's no way you're gonna make me.
Dory holds the crab out of the water where a dozen seagulls roost.
All right.
The birds start to converge on him.
He went to the fishing ground.
Dory lowers him underwater. Meanwhile, Marlon swims among the school and bumps into a grouper.
Oh, hey, look out.
I'm sorry. Just trying to get home.
As the spotted gray fish moves swiftly, Marlon lingers.
Nemo?
Daddy!
Nemo?
Daddy! Nemo, come on!
Dory? Nemo! Daddy!
They race toward
Nemo!
Each other.
I'm coming, Nemo!
Daddy!
Marlon
Nemo!
Barrels into Nemo and hugs him.
Oh, goodness. It's all right, son. It's going to be okay.
Turn around! You're on the wrong bridge!
Meanwhile, Dory and the grouper swim away from a huge net. As the fishing boat cuts across the surface, the net scoops up fish. On board, a reel slowly spools a cable and a crane arm shifts. Underwater, the net begins to move upright, trapping hundreds of grouper. The struggling fish gaze fearfully from the narrow openings of the net. Fin in fin, Nemo and Marlin glance around anxiously. Looking up, they see Dory caught with the others. They face her outside the net. As she disappears among the others, Nemo swims inside.
Dad, I know what to do.
Nemo! not going to lose you again!
Dad, there's no time! It's the only way we can save Dory!
Marlin tugs on Nemo's tail.
I can't do this!
He lets go.
You're right. I know you can.
They high five.
Look at Finn!
Now go! Hurry!
Tell all the fish to swim now!
Well, you heard my son? Come on!
Nemo swims through the groupers.
Dory, you have to tell everybody to
swim down together! You understand what I'm saying to you? Swim down!
As the boat's crane rises, the net nears the water's surface.
Everybody swim down!
Line, you have to swim down!
Swim down, okay?
Swim down! Swim down!
On board, the cable reel turns steadily, lifting the net. Underwater, the groupers swim for the bottom. As the net breaks the water's surface, Nemo, Dory, and the groupers flop around, gasping. Back underwater.
Don't give up! Keep swimming! Just keep swimming!
Above, the crane starts to lower. As the groupers wiggle, the net stretches down, pulling Dory, Nemo, and the others safely underwater. On board, two fishermen gaze over the boat railing and watch the net sink lower.
Keep swimming!
Come on, Dad!
You're doing great, son!
That's my dad!
Come on, let's get to the bottom! Keep swimming! Almost there! Keep swimming!
Meanwhile, the boat pitches to one side. The net almost reaches the ocean floor. On board, the crane goes taut. It breaks in two, plunging the net to the sandy sea bottom. Hundreds of grouper flurry from the top of the open net. As Dory gazes around beaming, Marlin bumps into her.
Hey! Dory, where's Nemo?
There!
The now flattened net pins Nemo to the sand.
Oh, no. Nemo!
As Dory lifts a corner with her mouth, Marlin wriggles under. Nemo lies still with his eyes closed.
Nemo?
Marlin remembers holding Nemo's egg.
Nemo, it's okay. Daddy's here. Daddy's got you.
Nemo's eyes open halfway.
Daddy?
Oh, thank goodness.
Dad, I don't hate you.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry, Nemo.
Nemo smiles slightly. Marlin glances at his son's lucky fin. Cocking his head, he holds it in his own fin.
Hey, guess what?
What?
Sea turtles? I met one, and he was 150 years old.
150?
Yep.
Because Sandy Plankton said they only live to be 100.
Sandy Plankton? Do you think I would cross the entire ocean and not know as much as Sandy Plankton? He was 150, not 100. Who's the Sandy Plankton that knows everything?
Now, in the anemone, Marlin bounces on Nemo.
Time for school! Get up, let's go!
Outside, they race.
I'm gonna win!
No, you're not! I did it!
Oh, my own son beats me!
I'm aboard, explorers!
Marlin faces the other father.
The sea cucumber looks over the mollusk and says, with fronds like these, who needs anemones?
Nemo brings Squirt to Mr. Ray.
Well, hello, Nemo. Who's this?
Exchange student. I'm from the EAC, dude.
Sweet.
Totally.
But seriously, Marty, did you really do all the things you say you did?
Pardon me.
Bruce, Chum, and Anchor grin. Ted shudders, releasing black ink.
Don't be alarmed.
We just wanted to make sure that our newest member got home safely.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you next week.
Keep up with the program, Dory.
Remember, fish are friends.
Not food. Bye.
As Mr. Ray glides off, Marlin waves.
Next up, knowledge.
Bye, son. Have fun.
Bye, Dad.
As you notice in there, I mentioned that Nemo was the one to instruct all the fish to swim down. It was the youngest one who actually helped save the lives of the school of fish. And when I saw that, it reminded me of Psalms 8:2, where it says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. If you remember in the beginning, I said that I chose this movie because I identify with Finding Nemo. I grew up in in Washington, D.C., and from the age of 9 to, I think, around 15, I would leave my home and I would go visit family members. And I wouldn't tell my mother, my father, or my siblings. I would just leave. And my father had 8 brothers and sisters, four sisters and 4 brothers. And I had 25 cousins. And so on Friday after school, I would grab a bag and I would just go to the house. And my father would pick me up on Sundays. And I would do this probably 2 weekends out of a month and just go. And so in studying for this, I called my dad and I said to him, I said, what was it like raising a child that was so similar to like Finding Nemo, which is, you know, would disappear. And we had never talked about the fact that I would just leave the house and venture off to relatives' houses. And my father said, I never said anything to you because I did the same thing when I was your age. My siblings would call me, they would say, this is the payback you get because we will always go look for you. And your son grew up and did the exact same thing. And I asked my dad, I said, he said to me, when he would leave his house, and this was during the 50s, he would catch a bus and he'd catch a streetcar and he would go to the zoo, the zoo in DC. And he said he had relatives who lived in the neighborhood. So he would go to the zoo and he would go to the relative's house, spend the night, and then catch the bus and the streetcar back home to DC, back to Southeast DC. And he was doing this during the 50s. This is before, of course, it's way before cell phones, but his family didn't have a phone at the time too. So they weren't trying to look for him. And it was always a struggle. So his siblings were really happy with the fact that I did the same thing to him. So I called one of my aunts as well. And I said, you know, when I would show up at your house and you never say anything, I would stay 2-3 days and you never said anything. And she said that the one thing you always did was you took the kids out. It took my cousins out and we would always play, always find something to do. So my dad asked me, he said, you know, when I did that, I went to the zoo because I love animals. And he asked me, why did I do it? And I thought there was only 2 things. I love people, being around people, and I love sports. So whenever I go to a relative's house, I would get my cousins together and we'd go play some sport or play some game, kickball, you know, tag, basketball, whatever it was. And so that was the thing I did. I always went to go play sports, which is so ironic that I would grow up and become a journalist and cover sports. And so that's the end of my message. And I just wanted to say, if those who haven't had a chance to see this movie, been out since 2003, get a chance to see it. And if you don't have a chance to see it by this weekend, I've been known to show up at houses and and I may come. But thank you so much for being so attentive for my message. Right now, we're going to take communion in a few moments. And in Finding Nemo, Marlon was willing to lay down his life for his son. And Jesus, he did lay down his life for us. And we each week recognize that and acknowledge it. First, we take the bread. That represents his body that was broken for us. And next, we take the cup that represents the blood that was sacrificed for us. So when you're ready, please come to take gluten-free crackers and some juice. You can eat and drink at the tables in the front or in the middle, or you can take it to the back to your seats, whatever you feel comfortable for you. Also at this time, you can light a candle as a form of prayer at the back of the auditorium. You can also light a candle or write a prayer for Ukraine in the table in the back right corner. You may want to pray for someone at the back or write a prayer in the stations under the banners, the journey and cross and grow banner. If you write out a post and place it in the frame, a team will pray for you during the week. You may like to make a financial gift and put in the wooden towers in the back, or sing, or just listen to the music. This is the time for us to represent God and to celebrate the gift of God's love for us. Thank you.